from this chapter, chapter 5. We're going to start with verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, let's go back for one moment and let me just kind of tie the whole thing together where you'll see where we are. Number one, I am justified by faith. I believe upon Jesus Christ. That's step one. And I'm justified just as though I had never sinned. But that is not the stopping point. This justification immediately, when I recognize this, brings about a harmonious peace between God and myself. And this peace begins to rule and reign. Why? Because I'm justified by faith through Jesus Christ. So my faith is anchored in Jesus Christ and what he did for me. Therefore, I'm immediately then brought into a harmonious peace with God, my Heavenly Father. Once I realize that, then I take one more step of faith into the grace. Now, this grace is that thing that I recognize. Wow, man, I have peace with God. I'm right with God. I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've got all of this. And what did I pay for it? Nothing at all. It is by grace. So when I recognize that this is all by grace that I have received this beautiful experience, then I take one more step into this grace and I find out that I stand in grace and that everything that I need from God, everything that I need to live an overcoming life, it is furnished to me by God's unmerited love and favor that overshadows me. Glory to God. I'll never need anything that is not provided for me already. And God did it and supplies it to me without any cost to me other than standing in this grace. So, when I realize I'm standing in this grace, then I begin to glory. Hallelujah. Glory in what? What am I glorying in? In God. Because of what God has done for me. This hope that I have. And then immediately he says, but we're so great. Now then, we're not only glorying because that we have been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. We are real fanatics. We glory in tribulation. Hallelujah. And why do we glory in tribulation? Because we know that tribulation worketh patience. And this patience that I'm speaking about is not a patience where that I'm saying, oh dear God, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to say, no. This patience is there because of an experience that I had when I got saved. But every time that I endure tribulation time, this patience that I have is anchored in Jesus, which is my hope. Hallelujah. And then I earn another experience. Because patience worth the experience. Amen? See, a lot of you went almost through tribulation, then you threw up your hands and quit, and therefore you got no experience. All you know is, man, it's hard to live for the Lord. It isn't hard to live for the Lord if you keep on anchoring in those experiences. Amen? And then when you get this experience, you thought you had hope and glory and rejoicing when you got saved. But when you really see, through Christ Jesus, I can defeat the devil, then you really get turned on. Amen? And that's what he said. See, a person that doesn't engage in battle, he never has anything to rejoice over winning. Amen? So when you get in battle, you earn an experience. experience. An experience. What are you talking about, Brother Gorman? I engaged in a financial battle, and I stood through that thing. It was trials, it was testings, it was heartaches, all of these things I went through, but God was faithful and he brought me through. Now I have an experience here, and that experience tells me that God is faithful. And then, praise the Lord, I begin to glory again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the first time I started going through a trial, oh, I got so ashamed. I didn't want people to see me crying. And I'd been smiling. And for, you know, the first 6 months I saved, you know, I mean, I was just floating around up here in clouds and all. And everybody's talking about, man, how happy you are and happy you are. And now then I'm trying to smile, but I can't. Every time I smile, well, tears get in my mouth. And so I'm, you understand what I'm talking about? Going through that tribulation, and oh, I'm so ashamed, and you know, and I don't want people to know that I'm fighting a battle, and I just testified how God blessed me financially and all, and now then I've lost my job, and things are going kind of bad and all, and I'm still trying to smile and say, but then this tribulation getting tough. Right? I said, right? Amen. So through this tribulation, I worked some experiences. I met patience, and patience produces experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. So after I go through one of these experiences, Larry, you've been through a few of them now. So now then, when you start facing these battles, well, right in the midst of your battle, you really become a fanatic. I mean, people really don't understand you. They really don't. Man, everything's falling apart. Now, this is what Dave Wilkerson had last night. Amen? The world doesn't understand that man. Here he is in the midst of tribulation. His wife, sick. His daughter, sick. The pressures that are there. But because he's had so many experiences. And last night he just sat there and kept rolling them out to me. Don, you heard him sharing some of those experiences, rolling them out to us. Just kept sharing and kept sharing. You know what he was doing? He could sit there patiently because he had enough experiences that he's already been through that now then in the midst of this, when the world says, hey man, you ought to be crying. Hey man, why aren't you falling apart? What kind of tranquilizers are you on, man? Man, what are you turning to? What do you drink? Nothing. You don't take any kind of medication? No medication. Man, what's holding you together? Hope. Hope that maketh not ashamed. Amen? Amen. You know what? You can walk through the dirtiest, dingiest, filthiest place in the world and keep a smile on your face if you're walking with the right people. Amen. It don't matter, Doug, where you are. You can be happy if you have the right acquaintance. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're going through trials, if you're going through testings, and you know what? Hope maketh not ashamed, because shed abroad in his heart is a love that's put there by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that's the reason that we, in the midst of tribulation, we soon get to the place as we grow in the Lord that we can glory in tribulation, because we know that tribulation is going to produce patience, and patience is going to produce experience, and experience is going to produce hope that maketh not ashamed. And this hope that we have is there because, that hope is there because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, this does not mean my love for God, because there are times when you're going through tribulation that your love for God may not be as great, but it's God's love for me. Hallelujah. And that's what he begins to generate and shed abroad in my heart, is God's love for me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Last night, Dave was telling me one thing that just really ministered to me. He said, Brother Gorman, when I was starting Teen Challenge, he said, we're going, and said, one summer, said, man, it was about to go under. Everything was coming against us. He said, we needed $30,000. And he says, one day, and I'm cutting it short because of time, but said, one day I received a letter from a missionary that had to leave China because that the communists were taking over. He said, this missionary says to him in a hand-scribbled note, I have read your book, The Cross and the Switchblade. You need this money. This is all the savings that I have in my account. It was $30,000. He said, man, said, I took that check and he said, I can't use this. This is all the savings this man's got. He saved all of his life. Saved all of his life. And he says, I can't take this man's money. But he said, God spoke to me to spend the money. He said, I spent the money. In with that check, he sent me a little booklet that he had written on tribulation. And he said, I kept that little book. But he said, years had gone by. And said, when I was moving my office just a few months ago, he said, when I was going through my desk, he said, that little book fell out. And he said, I picked it up and said, oh, Brother Baker, I guess he's dead now. And said, that night, the Lord spoke to me and says, he's got a son, and this son is in great need. And said, you find him. And he said, I started calling, and he said, I found this son. And said, this son was on the mission field. And said, I called him long distance and finally got a hold of him. I believe he's in India somewhere. And he said, I got a hold of him. And said, I says to him, says, several years ago, your daddy sent me $30,000. And God told me last night that I was to pay that back to his son because his son has a need. And I'm going to start paying that back, $1,500 a month, until every dime of it is paid back. And he said, there was a long silence on the other end of the line. And said, I finally said to him, are you still there? And said, he was overcome. And he said, yes, I'm still here. But he said, you see, said, I am to go to a certain area to take special training for a position that is open in the missions area. And he says, my wife and I have been praying and seeking God because we've got to have an additional $1,500 per month to accomplish this job. Hallelujah! 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 Dave said, he doesn't know it, but he said, I am committing myself to support him until that's over. And said, whenever he gets through with that training, the $1,500 a month that I will give him will amount to about $130,000 that he's going to get back. And he says, you know what? The scripture came to me, Brother Gorman. He said, it came to me, cast your bread upon the waters. And though it may float out there many, many days, it's going to return. And he says, it's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to keep casting my bread upon the water because God's going to take care of my children. I don't know. I don't have a great inheritance to leave them, but if I'll cast my bread upon the water. And he says, this poor dad, he cast $30,000 upon the water, and he didn't get it back necessarily, but said his son's going to get about $130,000 back because he cast that bread upon the water. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. What am I telling you that for? That's why Dave Wilkerson last night could sit there with a smile on his face and talk about the greatness of God, because experience, hallelujah, has produced hope. And as he sat there and meditated upon the experiences he'd been through, he said, I don't know what's going to be the outcome of my daughter when they operate on her, but I've been casting my bread upon the water, and there's a love that's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, and that love tells me that something is working on behalf of my daughter, and regardless of what the future is, it's all in God's hands, and it's going to be okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this is not one of those kind of sermons, and Paul didn't write this book. See, he didn't know this confession bit when he wrote that. See, I mean, these brethren hadn't put their books out yet on confession. Understand? He didn't know anything about, you know, pray one time, and if you don't get the answer, don't ask anymore because you might upset God and offend him. He didn't know that. They hadn't started that teaching in Paul's day. Paul just knew this. If you hang in there, hallelujah, that experience that you get is going to produce hope. And that hope is going to make you not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when God is filling your heart with love, it's just tough to be ashamed. Amen. It's just really tough. It's really tough to walk around with a frown on your face when God's pouring his love in your heart. And that's what that means, shed abroad. It means that it's poured in. That's what the Greek interpretation of that means. It means he just takes it and pours it over in you. Amen. Look in Acts chapter number 2, whenever it's talked about, and he says, because of the Holy Ghost that was shed abroad. That's what it uses there. Shed abroad in the latter part of that second chapter. Speaking about, well, what did it say in the first part of the chapter? It speaks about the Holy Ghost being poured out. Amen? It was poured out in one place. The other part, shed abroad. Well, what happens here is that God just takes that great big funnel of love and pitcher and begins to pour it down into your heart. And he says, the love of God that's shed abroad, that's poured out into your life. And you notice that word there, shed abroad in, that little word in there, when you study it out, it does not mean into, it does not mean around, but it means it gets inside and it just works and permeates. It just keeps on working until every fiber of your life, every part of your life, hallelujah, is literally saturated with the love of Almighty God. And I want you to know, friend, that I can go through just about anything whenever that the Lord's walking along there with me saying, I love you, Marvin. I love you, Marvin. Hallelujah. I'm with you, Marvin. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. He takes and sheds this love into our heart and pours it in there until, Doug, every fiber, every part of us is saturated with the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. Give him a good clap offering. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Love. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Now, how do we get there? Some of us, we're living an overcoming life by deduction. If thus and thus and thus is so, then, and I'm not condemning you for that. No. I'm going through this because I'm a child of God, because I preached this to you the other day, and it's true. It's in the Bible. I know I'm a child of God because I'm being chastised. I know I'm a child of God because I'm being persecuted. I know I'm a child of God because there are adversities that's coming against me. Amen? But it's tough living that way. Because the first day you fail to deduct, you're in trouble. Right, Bob? You really get in serious problems. You got to stay on that thing. And that's what I've told you over and over again. If you'll hang in there, every place you find in the Word of God where God did something for someone else, God, if you did it for him, that's deduction. You'll do it for me. You're no respecter person. That's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to hang on there. Amen? And then there are some people who say, just get it by faith. Well, that's great when my faith's working. But I'm not like some of those guys. My faith don't work every day. Oh, I know that comes as a shock to some of you. But bless God, there's some mornings I get up and I think my faith took vacation. I just don't feel it. I know that some of those guys said they feel it all time. It's there all time. But don't tell them, or you can tell them, I don't believe them. Amen? Amen? Bless your heart. In a 45 session I'll share with you this morning, Elijah was a pretty powerful man, and his faith took off. Paul was a pretty good boy, too. And Paul said, not only did faith leave, but all hope was gone. Both of them left
wisdom. Amen. But what happened? What happened to Elijah? Up under a juniper tree, crying and begging, God, let me die. Now that's not much faith. He didn't even have enough faith to die. He says, God, let me die. Some of these boys, all they gotta do is speak it and it happens. But he couldn't even get dead speaking it. Amen? Follow me? There he is. But oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Had our boy been through tribulation. You got to be pretty patient when you're the only duck standing there and 450 prophets of Baal. And you stand up there and you say, and look what faith is. Maybe your God's dead. Maybe he's asleep. Cry a little louder. He got that bunch so upset, they started cutting themselves. And he just stood there. Now, when a guy starts cutting himself, guess what? If he can get a hold of you, he's going to do worse than that. That's hard to stay put. And he stayed there till they went through all their ceremony. And then he literally made fools out of them. A calling fire down out of heaven, consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water, the whole bit. All right? But now then, he's under a tree, one to die. And someone said, bless God, it was my faith. My faith that got that. God said, he ain't gonna believe this, so I'm gonna let him go to sleep and let it all take place while he's asleep. Because if he sees these pancakes and this ham and bacon and all this stuff I'm fixing to feed him, if he sees that coming up there, it's gonna blow him. So he put him to sleep. And while he's sleeping, it wasn't his faith that got it. Now, I'm not down on faith, but I tell you sometimes, friend, some of you get so hung up that you're trying to have faith and you don't have it. And when you don't have it, you just don't have it. There are times when I'm praying for the sick that I know I've got it, and there are other times I know I don't. And when I don't have it, I say, fellas, I'm going. And I leave. There are few that catch me, and because of my love and compassion for them, I'll pray with them, but I do not have the faith that I do at other times. And if every man's honest, the same is true with every man. It's just that way. And so finally, God said, Elijah, Elijah, wake up. Breakfast time, wake up. And he wakes up and he eats. And you know what he did? Went right back to sleep. He probably said, thank God I can die full. You say, oh, he wasn't still down. Sure he was down. If he hadn't have been, he'd have got up and started going. Stayed right there in the same spot. And God had to wake him up again, fed him again. Amen. Where did he get that? One place, God's L-O-V-E, love. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, my time's gone. Paul, look at Paul. Here he is, tells everybody, you know, all this way through, all this storm and all the things that's happening. He's been speaking, and suddenly he disappears. I don't know, and I won't know until I have that glorified body, because then I'll have all knowledge. I don't know what he did. I think what he did was, he said, I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to hide, and I'm going to talk to God one last time before I meet him. Because he felt it was over with. And I think he was down in the belly of that ship, and he said, now God, I'm sorry that I told everybody that I was supposed to speak in Caesar's household and that I was supposed to go certain places. I must have misunderstood you, God. And God, I want you to forgive me for all of that, because I don't want anything between us when I get there. Because I'm coming pretty quick. Now that's really where he felt he was. And there are those who said, boy, if you begin to question God, God will cut you off. That's not so. That's not so. God said, angel, Get on there and talk to him. That old boy is more discouraged than he's ever been. And suddenly the angel of the Lord stood beside him and said, Paul, it's okay. It's okay. It wasn't his faith that produced that. What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to tell you this morning that whenever that the enemy thinks he's going to get you, and whenever that you feel yourself that all hope is gone and your faith is at rock bottom, man, it ain't over yet. Hallelujah. Because there's one working in your behalf, and his name is the Holy Ghost, who is the Comforter. Hallelujah. And he's got a bucket full of love, and he's on his way toward you right now to dump that love in your heart. Hallelujah. And to reassure you that God loves you and that everything's going to be okay and you're going to win. Hallelujah. Oh, but what you got to do is keep on. You got to hang in there. Don't quit. Don't quit. If you're thinking about quitting, come to the altar one more time and talk it over with God before you quit. Since he's been so kind to you, don't you think you owe it to him to at least thank him for what he done? And then before you throw in the towel, say, God, this is it. I'm going to throw it in. And I guarantee you, if you do that, God's going to fill your heart so full of love that you're going to walk out of here, and people are going to say, hey, I thought you were discouraged. That was used to be. Because God's love will be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Brother and sister, that's the way it works. God's Holy Spirit, some of the greatest blessings I've ever received, is not because of my great faith, not because, bless God, that I was hanging in there and I saw visions and I saw this. Honey, many a times I saw nothing but things getting worse, worse, worse. And suddenly here comes a bundle of God's love right into my heart and my life. Now, why does God do it that way? He wants to keep us understanding that even though I've got patience, and patience, hallelujah, is going to produce experiences. He doesn't want me to get to the point where I think that I'm doing it myself and my great faith is accomplishing it. He lets me somewhere out to get to the point where nothing is really working and everything I've done before and brought victory, it don't work anymore. And when all of this has failed, hallelujah, then God still remains God, and he faileth not, and he'll be there so that the glory will go to him. Hallelujah. The glory goes to him. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning, as we come to the close of this 8 o'clock service, do you feel that love? That love of God? If you don't feel it, and sometimes you don't feel anything, just keep on believing. And when that faith is gone to where you can't reach out, you can't reach out, there's one that's going to minister to you. In spite of everything that's happened, he's going to minister to you, and the Holy Ghost is going to shed abroad in your heart. God's not mad at me. I fail, but God still loves me. And that's one of the greatest things that happens today is self-condemnation. People get under, and the devil says, oh, but you're not going to make it. God's through with you. And suddenly God just dumps his love over into your heart. And you begin to melt and say, oh, God really still loves me. God's not mad at me. God's not down on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you get up from there. And as old Elijah did, he went 40 days in the strength of that food. Amen. 40 days. God's got a big plate full waiting for you right now. Hallelujah. Would you like for God to just dump that love over in your heart? You've just been having a real battle, and you just need, God, just let that love permeate my life till every part of me. If you kind of feel that way, and you're going through a battle, going through a dry time, just stand and just lift your hands and just say, Lord, I just cast myself on you, Lord. I've done everything I know to do, and you're my only hope. You're my only strength. I know you love me. Just stand up and just lift. Begin to praise him if that's the way you feel. You're going through that battle, that trial. Just lift those hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because the Holy Spirit was shed abroad in your heart. That beautiful love.
that beautiful love.